Welcome to our podcast, The Screwtape Letters, Confronting Evil in Our Time. I'm Ian Faith.
And I'm Galen Belinsky. In each episode, we will unpack one of C.S. Lewis's 31 letters and illuminate the nefarious schemes that the devil and his minions play in our world today.
Understanding how the demonic forces seek to separate us from God helps us to expose them,
reject them, and pursue Jesus as the center of our lives.
Subscribe and join us and our guests on this journey, The Screwtape Letters.
My dear, my very dear Wormwood, my poppet, my honeybun, how mistakenly, now that all is lost, you come whimpering to ask me whether the terms of affection in which I address you meant nothing from the beginning. Far from it, rest assured, my love for you and your love for me are as alike as two peas. I have always desired you, as you, pitiful fool, desired me. The difference is that I am the stronger. I think they will give you to me now, or a bit of you. Love you? Why, yes, as dainty a morsel as ever I grew fat on. You have let a soul slip through your fingers. The howl of sharpened famine for that loss re-echoes at this moment through all the levels of the kingdom of noise down to the very throne itself. It makes me mad to think of it. How well I know what happened at the instant when they snatched him from you. There was a sudden clearing of his eyes. Was there not, as he saw you for the first time and recognized the part you had had in him and knew that you had it no longer? Just think, and let it be the beginning of your agony, what he felt at that moment, as if a scab had fallen from an old sore, as if he had shuffled off for good and all a defiled, wet, clinging garment. By hell! It is misery enough to see them in their mortal days taking off dirtied and uncomfortable clothes and splashing in hot water and giving little grunts of pleasure, stretching their eased limbs. What then of this final stripping, this complete cleansing? The more one thinks about it, the worse it becomes. He got through so easily. No gradual misgivings, no doctor's sentence, no nursing home, no operating theatre, no false hopes of life, sheer instantaneous liberation. One moment it seemed to be our world. The scream of bombs, the fall of houses, the stink and taste of high explosive on the lips and in the lungs, the feet burning with weariness, the heart cold with horrors, the brain reeling, the legs aching. The next moment, this was all gone, gone like a bad dream, never again to be of any account. Defeated, outmanoeuvred fool. Did you mark how naturally, as if he'd been born for it, the earth-born vermin entered the new life? How all his doubts became, in the twinkling of an eye, ridiculous? I know what the creature was saying to itself. Yes, of course. It always was like this. All horrors have followed the same course, getting worse and worse, and forcing you into a kind of bottleneck till at the very moment when you thought you must be crushed, behold, you were out of the narrows and all was suddenly well. The extraction hurt more and more, and then the tooth was out. The dream became a nightmare, and then you woke. You die and die, and then you are beyond death. How could I ever have doubted it? As he saw you, he also saw them! I know how it was. You reeled back, dizzy and blinded, more hurt by them than he had ever been by bombs. The degradation of it, that this thing of earth and slime could stand upright and converse with spirits before whom you, a spirit, could only cower. Perhaps you had hoped that the awe and strangeness of it would dash his joy, but that is the cursed thing. The gods are strange to mortalize, and yet they are not strange. He had no faintest conception till that very hour of how they would look, and even doubted their existence. But when he saw them, he knew that he had always known them, and realized what part each one of them had played at many an hour in his life when he had supposed himself alone, so that now he could say to them one by one, not, "Who are you?" but, "So it was you all the time." All that they were and said at this meeting woke memories. The dim consciousness of friends about him, which had haunted his solitudes from infancy, was now at last explained. That central music in every pure experience, which had always just evaded memory, was now at last recovered. Recognition made him free of their company almost before the limbs of his corpse became quiet. Only you were left outside. He saw not only them, he saw him. This animal, this thing begotten in a bed, could look on him. What is blinding, suffocating fire to you is now cool light to him, is clarity itself, and wears the form of a man. You would like, if you could, to interpret the patient's prostration in the presence, his self-abhorrence and utter knowledge of his sins. Yes, Wilmot, a clearer knowledge even than your own. On the analogy of your own choking and paralyzing sensations when you encounter the deadly air that breathes from the heart of heaven. But it's all nonsense. Pains he may still have to encounter, but they embrace those pains. They would not barter them for any earthly pleasure or the delights of sense or heart or intellect, which you could once have tempted him, even the delights of virtue itself, now seem to him in comparison but as the half-nauseous attractions of a raddled harlot would seem to a man who hears that his true beloved, whom he has loved all his life and whom he had believed to be dead, is alive and even now at his door. He is caught up into that world where pain and pleasure take on transfinite values and where all our arithmetic is dismayed. Once more, the inexplicable meets us. Next to the curse of useless tempters like yourself, the greatest curse upon us is the failure of our intelligence department. If only we could find out what he is really up to. Alas, alas, that knowledge in itself so hateful and mawkish a thing, should yet be necessary for power. Sometimes I am almost in despair. All that sustains me is the conviction that our realism, our rejection in the face of all temptations, of all silly nonsense and claptrap, must win in the end. Meanwhile, I have you to settle with. Most truly do I sign myself your increasingly and ravenously affectionate Uncle Screwtape.
So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. This is letter 31. We're coming to you from the Homecoming Winery in the Poconos in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania, which is, Galen, your amazing venture. And you can come to the website, see pictures that we've got, some video from the time we spent here recording the last two letters as well. But this has been a real amazing pleasure.
Hasn't it? It's been a fun journey. I want to thank you also, Ian. We had kind of talked about this for months and months before we ever started the podcast. So thanks for looping me in, being the person to sharing the idea. It's been a really fun journey, some pretty powerful content through the chapters, and we made it to the end. We made it to our final day, right? As the patient had.
Yeah, right. And you think about it, right? I think this is one of those other moments that God brought us together.
Yeah.
Because people in life could say, yeah, it's just coincidence, but I think it's so much more to it. Like, you couldn't have done it without me, but I could never have done it without you. I don't know if there's anyone else out there that I could have had this experience with. It's been amazing. We're at the point in letter 31 where the patient dies.
It's over. It's over for him, and it's over for the demonic.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting, we don't know. Like, I don't know, did a lot of time elapse? Is this like, did this kid get back from the war and then he died of a war?
No, I think he dies as one of the wardens in the area. He's helping with the bombs coming down. He's putting people in bomb shelters and he dies. That's sure. How I get the feel
sure.
that it wraps up in that way. And that's a moment where, and they have this great line in there where he says, you know, the corpse, the torso goes limp and all becomes quiet. And
That's when he meets Jesus.
Right.
That's when he meets the Trinity. That's when he meets the angels. That's when he actually also meets one word.
He catches a glimpse of them anyway.
Right.
You know, there's that moment taken up into glory, and he becomes only spirit at that time.
Yeah.
And can see the unseen realm as it really is. You know, we only catch very little glimpses in this life. But he does. He sees Wormwood, and he sees some host of spiritual beings, you know, greeting him in heaven. Presumably the angels, perhaps the Trinity.
Yeah.
You know, we're not exactly sure.
But it is beautiful that for anyone who's reading these letters and reading the book, if you hear John Cleese narrate the last letter, there's a beautiful poetry to it.
Right.
That's so unlike all the other letters in here, especially the way he talks about when someone dies and finally meets the Lord.
Right.
And I nearly teared up a little bit on that, because it's so well done. And then to think, and we've talked about this, is how can John Cleese not be, after this experience, be the most relationship with God person you've ever met in your life, right?
And it's still a pretty hard atheist from what we understand. But I think what's really amazing is it's a great dramatic reading all throughout the 31 letters. And thanks to our buddy William, who made it 31 and not 29. He helped us find those last two letters. But all of the recordings from John Cleese, really dramatic, entertaining, very engaging. But the pain in which he's reading it as a demon to going through suffering gives it this sort of very, very celebratory beauty for the person knowing that this guy made it to heaven. So it's pain for the demonic, but it's beauty and rejoicing for us. And watching the demonic respond in that pain, the way he reads it, almost gives a very melancholy, like you said, it was tearing up at times, like it's over, but it's good.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And that really is, it's the goal of the believer, is to make it to the end. You know, there's a doctrine in Christian theology, and I don't like to be too much in a box. I'm this or I'm that, but there are some good teachings, specifically one called the Perseverance of the Saints, which basically says you really don't necessarily, you know, the only day that really matters is your last. Whether or not you were really truly walking with Jesus, there's a passage in scripture that says some people who are walking with the Lord turned away, and it says they went from us because they weren't ever really among us in the first place. The perseverance of the saints says what the day that matters most is your last day with Jesus, when we enter into glory. And this guy, and the demonic was holding out hope, not sure if this guy was truly saved, truly a believer, hoping they could get him off the path. But this guy finished the race. He finished strong, and he entered in the presence of the Lord. And I think it's a good thing for us to see that is our hope. You know?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And through here, it's interesting, this whole book, because it's always been described as satire. And I don't see it as satire. And maybe I'm seeing it wrong, because I just don't. I think this, I've said this since the beginning, I think that this is divinely inspired, and it's not scripture. But it is absolutely divinely inspired to wake us up to the attacks that are happening in our lives. And if we go through this people's life journey, and especially the patients where the law of undulation, anxiety being demonic, when you wake up to some of these realizations, it changes your outlook on life and actually gives you a more enjoyable life. And I hope actually protects you from the demonic forces, which are trying to bring you to the grave, to them,
right,
rather than to the grave, to the Lord. And I think that's something that's really important within this, is to keep that in mind. So, you know, to see it as satire, I think, demeans it.
I mean, it's certainly astoundingly insightful.
That's the right word. It's insightful. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it has a level of perspective and insight to put into words spiritual truths that we tend to overlook and not realize and unpack the tactics that Satan uses. But I think it's incredible seeing this chapter. It begins with Screwtape almost hinting at the fact that he's going to eat Wormwood.
Right.
Like, this guy has failed, and it just is so true that the life of the demonic is dog-eat-dog world, steal, kill, and destroy, and there's nothing but bitter infighting, even among the demonic. The older demon is going to ruin the you know, he's going to, Wormwood will be delivered to him, or at least bits of him, anyway.
Tear him up. There's the satirical little bit, right? And maybe that's where the satire is, but I don't see it when he's talking about the demonic challenges that we have on Earth with God.
That's not fiction. I mean, it's a fictional take. It's a fictional storytelling of true realities.
Yes,
you know, it's really what the book is doing. But I think it's amazing how even in that chapter, we see the infighting. We see the despair of the demonic when there's rejoicing. We see them not even be able to comprehend how a God who could receive his own children, who he saved and redeemed into glory. They can't even comprehend it. What is he even up to?
Right.
They say.
Yeah.
That the demonic is so hung up on stealing, killing, destroying, infighting, and all they're trying to do your entire life is distract you, fuddle you, to use the word early in the book.
Great word from
you know, yes. Constantly pull you aside with this negativity, this evil nasty angst, because that's all the demonic knows.
Yeah,
that's all the demonic knows.
So it's interesting because friends of mine have said since you've been doing this podcast, we've seen a positive change in you, which is a beautiful thing for them to say. And we talked last night with your wife about my testimony around my brother who was a non-believer who saw my mother actually at a point of death.
Right.
And he's a non-believer, and he said, I saw angels take her away.
Mm.
And when we said to him, you're not even a person of faith, how can you even say that? He said, I'm just telling you what I saw.
Wow.
And going back to letter 31, when they're talking about empirical realities versus, you know, things like love and that, he saw something that he can't describe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of our listeners out there who have people who have died. They want to have some kind of sign. My wife always said, I want some sign from my mother. And a lot of people say that from people who have passed away. Well, amazingly, you'd have thought the way God works, the way God works is obviously a mystery and it's amazing, but the one person in my family who doesn't have faith had the most incredible experience.
Right. He had a little level of insight. And I hope and we'll pray that that might be something that God brings in his life.
Yes.
A lot of times it's these little things along the way that kind of bring us to faith. And hope and pray that that is something that's instrumental in his life. But yeah, I mean, it's catching that glimpse and seeing really what happens at the end. Like I said, the only day that truly matters is our last day.
And the way C.S. Lewis poses it in here is that at that moment of death, you have this amazing meeting.
Mm.
It isn't delayed.
Right.
It's immediate.
Right.
And I think that's what really sort of was so warming, was that this life here on Earth that God created us for is over. But now you immediately have that meeting and all becomes revealed.
Right. And the way it all ties together, too, that he can say, you know, really brilliant the way he just has Screwtape telling this perspective of what this man, you know, understood and is experiencing as he entered into glory. But, you know, during the times when I sort of couldn't understand or I felt alone or whatever it was, I see you were there talking about the angels, the God spirits who are working, the counterparts to the demonic, that he's seeing them and now seeing it all clicks. And he sees the Lord fully in glory. There's that passage in Paul uses it to the Corinthians that talks about we can only see little glimpses, but one day we'll see fully clearly, you know. And this man is seeing that and experiencing that. And there's, I don't know, there's a humbling beauty in kind of embracing that reality in a sense.
Yeah.
That this man has made it to the end. All of the difficult times that he's gone through, all the times of doubt, all the struggles that he's had, it all now pays off. Everything is restored for him. Everything is redeemed. And there is, even a sense, there's a welcoming in the air.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Right.
Yeah.
And it all clicks. All the struggle was worth it. All the pain was worth it. He sees the work of Jesus on the cross finish that work in him as he's now fully restored and redeemed in glory. And that is the hope of the believer, that there is a gathering in heaven. With the angelic host receiving us, I believe other departed saints who are there ahead of us. We're not going to get into eschatology, right? What happens when you die and all, you know, how it all works out exactly, but we know to be absent with the body, absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And actually, if I can share, not trying to pull the plug on the business, but it's actually one of the subtle meanings behind our business called the Homecoming Winery.
I said
there is a homecoming. We like to create a beautiful space for people to connect. This is our homecoming. It's our story. But really, the thing that is the heartbeat of our family is to get as many people at that table. I believe there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and I want it filled with as many people. And as the demonic is trying to pull people out from ever getting to that table, it's our hope as Christians and as believers to get as many people finishing strong, coming to Jesus and finishing strong all the way to the end, to be part of that homecoming where Jesus wipes the tears away. The pain is no more. And it's nothing but experiencing the glory of the Lord forever.
Yeah, no more shame,
right?
No more suffering, and no more of a lot of the things that we relate to here.
And suffer through at times.
Yeah, and suffer too.
Right, or no more.
Yeah, so I'd say the challenges for the listeners who have been with us through this journey is go back and start again. Because I think what we've learned is that we could read these letters so many times, and there's probably things we've left out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for
and
sure.
We could add so much more in. There's so many more real stories of experiences people have had akin to a specific topic within here. It's definitely a help. This book's a big help, and I hope the way we've broke it down, and we've even been told this, is a big help for the people who are going through the different things in life that they're
right.
going through.
Right.
It strengthens people's faith. We don't do it. Jesus does it through his own word, but through these experiences. And that leads to a happier life. And I can only wish for more people to have that joy.
Right. That's why we did this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, as guys who are in ministry in one capacity or another, that is our end zone. For people to be walking with Jesus closer, and to be walking with Jesus closer all the way to the end, you know. And my life's not over yet, so I'm not speaking.
No, right,
I got
exactly,
the finish line, but I know where I'm going, and I'm going to try to bring as many people with me and leave as much of an impact in other people's lives to be able to facilitate that as well.
So this is letter 31. We're near the end. We've got a few more things to come. We're going to have a Christmas episode. And we're going to hopefully bring together Corey, William, and a few other people who've been involved in this with us to actually just round it all off.
Yeah.
Which would be a great thing to do.
So this is the end of the first time through the 31 letters,
yep.
But it's not the end of the podcast.
No.
Because we do have some Christmas content coming out, like you said, and we're even going to be casting some vision. There's a lot of things to talk about when we're talking about confronting evil in our time and unpacking the work
sure.
of the demonic beyond just the 31 letters. So more to come from here. This is not going to be the end of the podcast. This is the end of this go-round. So stay tuned for updates. But it's been an honor and a privilege.
Absolutely.
With our listeners, with you, Ian. Thanks a million for making it happen and inviting me in on it. I'm really, really excited to have been a part of it, and looking forward to see where we go next with it.
So until next time, Screwtape Letters Podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. I'm Ian Faith.
I'm Galen Belinsky.
And we'll see you again, and have a Merry Christmas. Loop back to the beginning, and hopefully this will be something that works well in your life to just get you a little bit closer to experiencing the beauty of the relationship with Jesus Christ you have through your church, through your friends, through your family, through all different types of ministry.
Absolutely.
Until next time.